Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint our lips, our hearts, our minds, this place, our souls. Reveal Jesus in the midst of us. Nourish us, comfort us, correct us, heal us, transform us. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. This gospel passage that we've just heard is one of the most significant theological passages in the whole of the New Testament. And beyond the New Testament, it's recognized as a magnificent example of classical literature. So how on earth did that happen? Because the author wasn't an educated person. He wasn't a learned person. He wasn't an academic. He was a fisherman, never been to college, probably never been to high school. How is it possible that somebody like that writes with such magnificence? Now, the apostleship of John was a very different kind of apostleship than the apostleship of Paul. Paul was a doer, mover, shaker, planting churches, breaking down barriers, writing letters, an activist. John, in contrast, is the apostle of the contemplative life. He who leans on Jesus' breast hears the heart of God. And so John birthed a whole contemplative movement. And from this contemplative movement, if you trace it down church history, some of the most awesome missionary work has ever been done, born out of those given to contemplation. So Bible study is good, but we have to be careful a little bit with Bible study sometimes, because we who still are so influenced by the Enlightenment want to analyze the Bible. Well, there's a place to analyze the Bible. But there are all kind of places in the Bible that don't really call on us to analyze. This passage is one. It calls us to awe. It calls us to meditation. It calls us to bow before the omnipotent God whom we'll never understand. It calls us to worship. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the ancient words impart. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him, nothing came into being. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all humanity. And the light shone in the darkness. And the darkness could not overcome it. And that was true of John's day. The Roman Empire, dark, spiritually dark, violent, hedonistic. And in the middle of this darkness, a light shone. And this light began to penetrate Roman culture, Roman civilization, even in the midst of some horrible persecution. So much so that by the time it came to Constantine, the marvel about Constantine was not that he made Christianity accepted in the Roman Empire. The marvel was that it politically worked. Christianity, Christian faith, had so permeated the society that what Constantine proclaimed just worked. The light was shining in the darkness. Fast forward to the 21st century. Brothers and sisters, a great darkness is settling over Western civilization. It's like a tsunami. It's much bigger than the bad guys that we typically hear about. This person did wrong, that person did wrong, the other person. Far greater than that. It's a darkness. We live in Europe. We live in America, there's a great darkness. And the society no longer has a worldview that will support Christian faith. Great darkness. By the way, that shouldn't disturb us so much, because most Christians over 20 centuries have lived in societies that did not have a worldview that supported Christian faith. So if we live in a society that doesn't support Christian faith, we're just normal. This is normal for the church. This is the darkness that we live in. But in the midst of the darkness, there is a light. And I wonder if you would allow me, I don't want to be presumptuous here, I wonder if you'd allow me to speak to you prophetically this morning. Because I want to say to you that if we're all absorbed with the darkness, we've missed it. What is going on in the world today? Jesus told us, be aware, read the signs of what's going on. If you want to know what's going on in the world, you won't find it in the headlines. So let me tell you three mega trends of light that are shining in the world today, that are shining in Western civilization today. And the light is getting brighter, and the light is getting broader, and the light is penetrating deeper into the darkness. Three mega trends. First mega trend. Muslim peoples are hearing the gospel on a scale never seen in 1,300 years of history. We are living in the midst of a historical cataclysm in Christian missions. Jesus made it clear, Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. Nations means peoples, people groups. All nations, all cultures must hear, and then the end will come. And in the history of Christian missions, the Muslim world has been the most resistant, hard place missionaries could ever work in. Missionaries have gone to the Muslim world, spent their lives there, seen nothing or little fruit. Some lost their lives there. And for decades and centuries, we've been praying for the Muslim world. I first started working among Muslims and praying for the Muslim world in 1966. In those days in Turkey, we were hearing about 10 to 20 believers in the whole country of Turkey. Almost no believers in Afghanistan. The Muslim world. How are we going to penetrate the Muslim world? How are we going to bring Christ to the Muslim peoples? Jesus told us to do it. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, church, go and proclaim the gospel to all the nations. How are we going to do that among Muslims? And now this present phenomenon, that no, God didn't create this present phenomenon, but he's moving through it, and Muslim people are being presented with the gospel on a scale never before seen in history. I just got a letter from dear friends of ours. They're on the Antioch Network board. We've known them for decades, David and Gracious Saunders. They live in the city of Berlin. They've worked among Muslims for 40 years. They say our city, it'll never be the same. 600 refugees coming into Berlin every day. The government is putting them up in hospitals, putting them up in schools, putting them up in factories, even using airport facilities to house these refugees. And Frau Merkel responds with this profoundly typical German thing. Wir schaffen es. That means we will make this happen. And David and Gracia are going, listening to these people, Afghans, Syrians, Turks, Iraqis, Kurds, people from Central Asia, broken. 60,000 unaccompanied children, 60,000 unaccompanied children in Germany so far among the refugees. These people are getting dreams. It's a fairly common thing among Muslims. They get dreams. Turks are coming to Christ. Iranians are coming to Christ. Afghans are coming to Christ. Not without a battle. Not without danger. There's never been, read the New Testament, it's never been easy. It's never been a piece of cake. It's been battles. It's been wars. It's been misunderstandings. It's been life-threatening situations. But the history of Christian missions is experiencing light, like never before, and the Muslim world will never be the same. That's a tsunami that's taking place today. The light is shining in the darkness. And the light shined in the darkness. And the darkness could not overcome it. Megatrend number one. Here's megatrend number two. Divisions within the body of Christ are being reconciled and healed. Divisions within the body of Christ are being reconciled and healed. Now here's a question for you. Jesus prayed, John 17, Father, I pray that all those that you have given me might be one. So here's the question. Do you think the Father is going to answer that prayer? What do you think? The end's going to come, and that prayer's not going to be answered? 2 months ago, in the city of Rome, in the meeting of the Wittenberg 2017 initiative, a Catholic priest who's part of our leadership team, who's been with us from the beginning, stood up and gave a talk on indulgences. That's what Luther was writing his thesis about. And this Catholic priest, who's been a Catholic all of his life, going to be a Catholic the rest of his life, bishop, said that indulgences, the sale of indulgences in Luther's day, was the German word Missbrauch. In German, the word to use is brauchen. And to misuse is Missbrauch, but it's a very powerful word in German. It's the word that you use for sexual abuse, Missbrauch. And he said, the sale of indulgences was Missbrauch on the part of my church. And when he finished speaking, he asked God for forgiveness. Now, don't get the wrong idea. Also among us are leading German Protestants. One of my favorite is Sister Joela. Some of you know the Sisters of Mary that have the garden south of Shea on 40th Street. Well, she used to be the head of that whole order. She's turned it over to younger people now, and she's a prophet. And she spoke to us the last time we were together, and she spoke about Martin Luther. And she spoke about Martin Luther's anti-Semitism. Martin Luther wrote some of the most horrible things about the Jewish people. If you just picked it up and read it and didn't know where it came from, you'd think it was during the Nazi time. The Jews must be driven out of Germany. Their synagogues must be burned. Luther wrote all this. And also Sister Joela reminded us about the collaboration between the German Protestant State Church and the Nazis. You know, there are pictures where altars, the cross is on the altar and also the swastika. And here's Sister Joela, a loyal Lutheran, going to be a Lutheran the rest of her life, but asking for forgiveness for the things in history that have marred the church and have caused divisions among us. And, I don't have the time to tell you the stories that I could tell you. Our friend the bishop, another, by the way, Catholic priest, who's well known in the Vatican, said to us, the Holy Spirit is doing one thing in all the world and has been since the day of Pentecost. He's preparing for the second coming of Christ. And in 1415, when Jan Hus, the Czech reformer, was martyred, that showed the Catholic Church at that time was unable to reform itself. And the Protestant Reformation was inevitable. Therefore, this Catholic priest, well known in the Vatican, says, we Catholics must see the Protestant Reformation as a gift of God's grace to the church. What do you think of that? Well, they're following in the line of Pope Francis. He went to the Waldensians. You know, the Waldensians, they were early reform movement, back to the 12th and 13th century. Pope Francis went to the Waldensians and publicly asked for forgiveness for Catholic persecution of the Waldensians. He did the same thing to the Pentecostals, asked for forgiveness. How can we be one? I'd like to see us all standing in the foot of the cross. I'd like to have one hand on a Messianic Jew, and the other hand on a Russian Orthodox priest. And then here come the Catholics, and then here come the Anglicans, and then here come the Lutherans, and then here come the Calvinists, and then here come the Southern Baptists, and then here come the non-denominational church people, and here come the Methodists, and here come the Presbyterians, and we're all standing at the foot of the cross, and we're saying, Jesus, we've all failed. The church is beautiful because Jesus is in it. The church is broken because we're in it. It always has been broken. Have you read the New Testament? The New Testament church was broken. The church has always been broken. We're not going to fix the church by showing that everybody else that doesn't agree with us is wrong and we are right. We're going to fix the church by gathering together at the foot of the cross and saying, Jesus, have mercy on us all. And teach us how to honor one another, love one another, listen to one another, pray for one another, serve one another. And by the way, if this makes any of you Anglicans nervous, something real quick before we go to the last. I watched this week on YouTube, Nicky Gummel, who is the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton, a leading Anglican parish worldwide, where the whole Alpha course has come from that parish. Awesome thing. Nicky Gummel at this big leadership conference at the head for the Alpha course, several thousand leaders there, interview Cardinal Schönborn, the Archbishop of Vienna, the Catholic Archbishop of Vienna, and he interviewed him. That was such a beautiful, beautiful interview. And at the end, Nicky Gummel asked Cardinal Schönborn, would you pray for us? By the way, Cardinal Schönborn, he really has backed the Alpha course, and he even said to Nicky Gummel, well, one of the things we did to get the Alpha course going, we went to the YWAM people and asked them to help us. Now, here's a Catholic archbishop going to YWAM and saying, you know, you can help us in the whole process of spreading the gospel among our people. Check it out on YouTube. Okay, here's the third tsunami. Individual lives are being transformed, brothers and sisters. Individual lives are being transformed. This is why Jesus came. Jesus did not come only to free us from guilt, although thank God he came to free us from guilt. But it's more than that. He came to make us new people. He came to free us from sin. He came to transform lives. That's what Jesus does. This is a business he's in. Transform lives. Wow, the stories. I'm watching the clock. In the Wittenberg 2017 initiative, this is another thing that's happening, you guys. I can't figure this out. There's no way to figure it out. Members of the German nobility are taking part in this initiative. Members of the nobility. They were with us for a whole week in Rome. And they wanted to meet afterwards at one of their residences. And they asked Hannah and me to meet with them, along with our friends from Austria also. So we met with them. And we had a whole weekend together with them. And they were talking, you know, look, this whole division, these awful divisions, some of us are Catholic, we're married to Protestants, our children are confused. We've lived with this, all of this for 500 years. What can we do? So they turned to us, what should we do? And I said to them, well, you know, it's not what, I don't know what you should do. What is God saying to you? And as they just shared their hearts, what is on their hearts? What is on their hearts is to use the influence that they have in German culture to build bridges, to do the work of reconciliation, to understand one another, pray for one another, honor one another, love one another. So we responded to them, look, we believe God is calling you. Give leadership to this. And then they said, look, we're ready to do that, but we need spiritual covering, and we need counsel, and we need prayer, and we want this to be a part of the Wittenberg Initiative. We were getting ready to go. The weekend was over. And somebody said, you know, we haven't prayed for these two, this married couple, members of the nobility. We haven't prayed for them yet. So I said to them, would you like us to pray for you? Yes, they said. They just immediately got up and sat on this seat. They're ready to, for us to pray for them. And one of the wives, of a wife of one of the other princes said to me, George, do you need some oil? I said, yes, I need some oil, but shame on me, I don't have any oil. So she said, do you want me to get some oil from the kitchen? And I said, yes. So pretty soon she comes back with a saucer and some vegetable oil. So here I am anointing this prince and princess for a Christian ministry using vegetable oil. Do you believe God can do that? Anyway, then Hannah prays. This is just a clincher. Then it's Hannah's turn to pray. Before I knew it, I opened my eyes. Hannah's got her hands on both of their heads, commissioning them into the work that God has called them to. Those two, that prince and that princess, their ancestral lands are the land. On their ancestral lands, Hannah's mother was born. Her three aunts were born. The four of them were murdered by Germans. Hannah's parents were put in a gray truck in a Polish forest, gassed to death, and their bodies dumped in a mass grave. That's what happened to Hannah's mother, by Germans. And here is Hannah praying for these German members of the German nobility and sending them out to do the work that God has called them to do. And there was a passage in Psalm 113. He raises the poor from the dust heap and sets them among the princes of his people. He takes the barren woman and gives her a home and makes her the joyous mother of children. And I am watching Germans relate to Hannah as a spiritual mother. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory in the lives of people from whatever walk of life, from infants that have come to Germany as refugees to members of the nobility. Christ transforms. And in the faces of transformed people, we see his glory. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Amen.